It's time for a special playoff edition of NFL Red Zone with Todd Lebo.
The Red Zone is brought to you by Casey's Own CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather.
Your exclusive home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 55. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Good evening, Kansas City. Welcome into Red Zone tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got an hour of fun here for you before we turn it over to 3 hours of real fun with Joshua Briscoe and almost entirely sports. Fun night here. We'll give you a little Chiefs news, updates, and things like that here to kick the show off. We will be joined by Jeffrey Chedia from NFL Network to break down the Chiefs and Bills, Haley Lewis from KSHB-TV, and Tom Krasnicki, who works for WDAE in Tampa, to get a little sneak peek of what's going on in the NFC Championship game. Of course, you can hear both the NFC and AFC Championship games right here on Sports Radio 810 this Sunday. We're super excited to be the home of the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 55. We got it all for you right here. Now, the news of the day with the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes practiced again. He's officially called a limited participant, and he is still in the concussion protocol, as Andy Reid laid out this afternoon.
Le'Veon Bell had his knee swole up yesterday, so he did not practice. We'll just get that down and get him back ready to go. Willie Gay did not practice. Everybody else practiced, did a nice job. The guys that are in the concussion protocol, which is Breland and Mahomes, were limited on what they did. So it was, but listen, they all got good work in, and that was the important thing as we went through today. It was good tempo. The guys, again, it was a good first step getting things going. So, and then Clyde, he did practice, and so did Sammy. So they both got some work in today. Anyways, well, that time's yours.
Hey, Andy, just confirming with you that Pat is still in the protocol. Is that right? And Brad will have a quick second question.
Yeah, both Pat and Breland are both in the protocol.
Okay.
And working on a limited basis. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
Did Pat take all the starter snaps today?
The majority of them, yeah, he took them.
So he took the majority of the snaps, but they didn't call him a full participant. Here's what I think is going to happen. Tomorrow will be the day that he can be full participant, totally cleared, through the five-step concussion protocol, and we'll find it out tomorrow, like 1:15 or so. Here's a little hint. This won't be the definite, but the AFC Championship game week, they have to give you the head coach every day. That's why we heard from Andy today. Normally, we don't hear from Andy on Thursdays. Normally, you only hear from the quarterback on Wednesday. But on AFC Championship game week, they have to give you a quarterback on Wednesday and on Friday. They gave us Chad Henne on Wednesday because Patrick Mahomes was in concussion protocol. So we'll know tomorrow if Patrick Mahomes steps up to a podium about 1:15 right here live on Sports Radio 810, whether he's totally through the concussion protocol. Now, even if he doesn't step up to the podium, that doesn't mean they won't clear him Friday night or Saturday. But that will be, if you hear him tomorrow talking, that means he's all the way through the concussion protocol. All right, let's hear now from Eric Bieniemy. One news on the injury report is Le'Veon Bell did not practice. He's got a sore knee. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was limited again, but that's better news than was last week when he was limited on Wednesday and then didn't practice the rest of the week and then was not active. But Darrell Williams was a surprise candidate to have a really good game last week, and that's where the question to Eric Bieniemy was, kind of what Darrell Williams has given to them while the other guys have been hurt.
My man, D-Dub, Dirty, as everybody calls him. Dirty's a smart, intelligent football player. He always have been that way. He's a guy that can line up and play in two positions. He can play at the running back position. He can also play the fullback position. He's a very smooth operating customer. He's very smooth through the holes. The thing that he has always been told, and he understands this because it had a chance to come to light a few times since he's been here, make sure you continue working and only worry about the things that you can control. And when you're presented with that moment, you make sure that you make it happen. I told him the other day, yesterday, in fact, I told him that I was very proud of his performance, not because of the numbers that he put up. We knew that he was very capable of that. In fact, he could put up even more better numbers. The thing that I was proud of is his ability to persevere through all the adversity that he's been through, because he really hasn't been given that opportunity to just go out there and shine. I know every player has, you know, when they envision themselves playing in this league. So I'm very proud of the player, but more importantly, very proud of the person for just seeing it through.
All right, and just also wanted to get your take on how Pat's looked through the last couple of days of practice.
You know what? Obviously, I'll let Coach deal with all that, but he looks like Pat to me. So he's been great in meetings. You know, he's fun. He's energetic. So you can always count on Pat being Pat.
That's Eric Bieniemy talking about Patrick Mahomes. Pat is being Pat. And like I said, I think we're going to find out tomorrow. He's all the way through this concussion protocol and will be on the field when the Chiefs play the Bills on Sunday. They will be facing a Bills team that's red hot. They've only lost one time since the Chiefs beat them back in October, and that was the Hail Mary play when they lost to Arizona. They had that game won. It took a miracle to lose the game. They've been scoring a lot of points, and they look like a better offense, notwithstanding the game against the Bills or the Ravens last week. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo says Josh Allen has made a lot of progress.
Yeah, listen, we thought he was pretty good when we played him in week six, but just the way they've functioned in these last 10, 12 weeks, whatever it's been, highly efficient. Very confident. See, a real confident football player. He's not afraid to make any throw from any spot. You know, most of these guys just say make him go in a certain direction and he's weaker. But this is an athletic quarterback that's big. He's tough to tackle. And I think he's functioning in the offense that Brian has him in very, very well.
Hey, Coach, it's been a while since you played these guys. And it was kind of an unusual kind of weather, weird kind of Monday afternoon game. Did you think you saw the best of them that day offensively? And do they look as a group like they've gotten better as the season's gone?
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, I think we're getting ready to play a football. It's always hard to play a team twice in a league, in a season. I mean, we know that. It's hard to beat a team twice. It's hard to beat a team three times. And so that's what we're faced with. And we certainly expect the level of their play to certainly go way up. I think you're right about the weather there. Might have changed things a little bit. We're fully expecting our most difficult task of the season. Big quarterback, wideouts all over the place, an offensive line that's functioning well together. And I don't think we should fall asleep on the run game. I think that running back is a good football player. Everybody comes in and tries to run the football on us, and some people have some success and some don't. So we're ready for everything.
The Bills are a very good team. They wouldn't have been the 2 seed, and they wouldn't be in this position if they weren't. The Chiefs will have their hands full. I don't think this is going to be some easy affair. I think it has the makings of a really, really great game. We will break it down next on the Red Zone with our good friend Jeffrey Chedia from NFL Network.
You're listening to the NFL Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Red Zone is brought to you by KCZone CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather.
Welcome back into the Red Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Let's check back in with one of our KSHB friends, Haley Lewis, from Channel 41. In the kingdom of Mick Schaefer is what we call it, right, Haley?
Oh, gosh. Are we really calling it that? I thought I was the one with the crown.
Well, no. Well, he's the king. I mean, Mick is the king. That's what he does. You guys have so much stuff. You're official partner of the Chiefs. You've had so much special programming all year long. That continues this week. You still got another 6:45 special on Channel 41 tomorrow night. And what all is planned for Sunday? What time are you getting to Arrowhead Stadium?
Oh, Todd, I'm never leaving Arrowhead Stadium. That's the problem. I think our plan is we're going to be there. We're going to have people from our morning show there early as can be. So if you wake up at 5 a.m. like a crazy person on Sunday morning because you just got to start your pregaming, you'll see us there at the field, turn it on to 41, and then we'll be there pregame, and, of course, we'll be there postgame, hopefully celebrating the fact that the Chiefs are headed back to the Super Bowl. So just basically keep your channel on 41 all day and tuned in to the radio, and you'll be set with all you need to know, Chiefs.
Yeah, well, this has been a very unusual year. We know that, right? Obviously, with you know, the Zooms and you know, like I have not been to Arrowhead Stadium since the day before the parade because the radio stations, we don't get to go out there. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse that you get to go out there. You have to go out and shoot a little practice, right? And you can get to go to the games and do some stuff. But what's it been like covering this team this year in this kind of new way?
Well, it's been interesting. I know that there are things that we're definitely, and I bet that not only the Chiefs, but the NFL is going to carry over to next year because they probably like that they see us less.
Yeah.
Probably want to maybe transition some of those things over. But it's been interesting because, you know, at first it was I would put on pants for Zoom calls, and I would actually get dressed up and be ready and have my light and everything all set up and just sit there and ready for my press conference like you would in person, because you go in there in person and have to set up your camera and get all ready. And now it's to the point that as long as I am on that Zoom call 5 minutes before it's time to record and I have everything put together, I'm set for the rest of the day. It's been interesting. It's good because, you know, it's been a great place to, I think, for journalists to develop and get those questions out there. But you lose that in-person element, as we all know. It's harder on Zoom because there's that awkward delay and that awkward, hey, coach, what's up? Oh, hey, how you doing? And
right.
It just gets always cut off in those weird transitions. And also, you don't have the locker room interviews. And that's where you get the inside beat. That's where you build relationships with these players. That's where they learn to trust you, get to know you, get to know your questions, and things like that. And you also get to see the players interact with one another.
Yeah,
we
missed that part. I'm telling you, last year, hanging around the locker room, you could just tell this team was together, right? You could feel it in the locker room. And now, I mean, I think they probably are, but I don't know. I mean, you know, we haven't been out
right.
there. We haven't been in it, you know?
Exactly. And you can't, and the thing is, like, the, you know, even at practice, you have, and for good reason, but you have to be so careful and very cautious with everything and stay at such a distance that it is hard to have that type of relationship. I mean, you know, we were in the locker room last year and watching them play basketball, and just, you could see the chemistry of these players. You could see that every single person was getting along in that locker room. They'd hop in each other's interviews and act like the interviewee. And we just don't get to see that human element this year. So it's been difficult. It's been interesting, difficult, and I'm definitely ready for it to be back to normal, hopefully next year.
Yeah, who knows when normal is going to come back. I don't know when that
right.
is. We were talking to KSHB's Haley Lewis about the Chiefs. They've got special programming on Channel 41, and one of the things you guys do get as an official partner is you get some special interviews. Like when we're all on the Zooms, you put your hand up, maybe you get in, maybe you don't get in. You guys get some special
right.
Zooms, so you've gotten a little more content than maybe some of us have gotten a chance to do. What sort of things have you kind of gleaned from that as the season has gone along?
Yeah, I mean, that has been a fun aspect of it, is getting that little bit of an exclusive edge. I remember when the season was starting off, I got to talk to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which was really cool. First of all, the most mature rookie I've ever spoken to. I felt like I was talking to a 10-year vet just because of the way he speaks. I can definitely see where the Chiefs drafted him. Such a knowledgeable player. Get to talk to him. And then, you know, for instance, last week after the game, everyone's on the Zoom press conferences, and I had the luxury of getting to talk to Chad Henne right after he came off the field, which is awesome to get that inside beat and hear from them. But again, it's good that we have that partnership, because that's the only way we're able to get this exclusive content right now in the year of COVID with everything going on this season. But it's been good because it's shown you that little bit of human element that's been taken away. You get to have that one-on-one time with those players. You get to see that spark, that personality, and it only makes you crave it more. And hopefully what we can do with those interviews to showcase who the Chiefs are at their core and who they are amongst one another. Because, like, again, on the Zoom press conferences, it's very impersonal. You don't get to see that like we do one-on-one.
Now, Haley, what are your thoughts here after Thursday, after practice? We've got this all done. It's Thursday night. They got one more practice that we're going to get a little accessibility tomorrow with. I've been confident since Monday that Patrick Mahomes was going to play, and even more confident as we go. But I don't know still yet about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he was so good against Buffalo last time out. I think you assume that Patrick is going to play unless something crazy happens tonight or tomorrow. But he's not the only one on the injury list. Bashaud Breeland's in the concussion protocol. Clyde Edwards-Helaire they kind of thought he was going to make it back last week. It was game time. Where are you feeling about some of the other guys, who, whether or not they're going to be available this week?
I think when I look at the injury report, the only person who I don't see playing this week is Willie Gay. And I think that Sammy's going to go. I think Clyde will go. For sure, I'm with you on that whole Mahomes boat. I think that he's going to go. I think that it would take hell and high water to keep Mahomes out of that game, just from him, let alone. But I really think the only person who probably will not be on the field is Willie Gay come Sunday, meaning that if you got playoff Watkins back, that's great for the Chiefs, also having another target that can kind of take away the attention from all the pressure that comes on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. But also to have Clyde back on the field, Le'Veon Bell today popped up on the injury report because apparently he got his knee knocked around yesterday, and so now he has a swollen knee that they're trying to deal with. Obviously, Darrell Williams has done exceptional for the Chiefs, But it would be great to have their number one guy back on the field. I think Clyde is going to make a go for it. But the thing about Clyde is his injury, it's hard to watch back. He really did just get stretched out. And for such a little guy to just be put in a position like that, you know it's tough to come back. But you know, Reed and Eric Bieniemy have also been saying just how hard these players are fighting to get healthy and get back. So I think the only person we're not going to see is Willie Gay on the field.
Well, it's going to be something. We're all looking at injury reports, and we'll all be waiting for those inactives on Sunday right up till the edge of it.
Right.
Here's my question for you about the defensive side of the ball. You know, listen, I like a lot of things they do. I thought Tyrann Mathieu had his best game as a Chief maybe last week, and he was all over the field everywhere. We're still not seeing people hit the quarterback, right? It's just not happening.
Yeah.
You know, L'Jarius Sneed got another sack. That's great. But they're not paying L'Jarius Sneed $100 million like, you know, Chris Jones and Frank Clark. It's kind of time for them to kind of bust through and get it done. They didn't get after Josh Allen a whole lot when they saw him up there before. Can the Chiefs find a way to get there with four? And does it even matter if Spags can just find a way to get guys there?
I don't know if it's find a way. It's that they have to find a way. Because I think something that Chris Jones said yesterday was really important. He said, I don't think we can stop Josh Allen, but I do think we can contain him. And I think that's what it's going to be. When you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, who's so dynamic, but you know, he can throw a ball 60 yards on a run. You know, he throws these bombers down the field, but he also turns into some kind of like a physical running back at times when he takes the ball and goes with it. So I think it's going to be really hard to contain him. And I think that if the Chiefs do not pressure the quarterback and do not, you know, get to him like they need to in order to contain him, that's going to be the key to the game. So I definitely think that the defense is going to have to, and not necessarily just say step up statistically, but I think this is where the defense is going to show that they can win championships, right? That old phrase where they're going to have the ones to contain him, because Mahomes, we know, can go out there and do whatever he needs to do with 30 seconds left on the clock. It's just, can the Chiefs keep the Bills score low enough to where that actually matters?
Yeah, and, you know, the Bills only scored 17 against the Chiefs last time. They only scored 17 last week against the Ravens, and seven of those were on defense. So there's something going on there. The Ravens got a little something. I'm sure the Chiefs are studying that. You mentioned 30 seconds to get the ball back from Mahomes. That maybe go down and make a kick. Here's the problem. Harrison Butker last week, the extra point reared its ugly head. And it's going to be, I know you've been talking to Gary Lezak, it's going to be gross out there Sunday. We're talking some wind, some rain. This will not be the greatest kicking conditions of all time. What is your confidence level in Harrison Butker right now?
Oh, I don't like that question.
That's a long pause, Haley. I don't know.
We just got off the Zoom call talking with Butker, and he was talking about how, you know, Dave Tobe, special teams coordinator, said that it was an operational glitch. You know, it was a problem with the way that the laces were facing, that what happened with the missed PAT and missed, I think it was a 33-yard field goal. But the thing about Butker is he can kick these 60-plus yard field goals with confidence, and it seems like Tobe and Reeve, their confidence hasn't wavered in him whatsoever. And you wonder, okay, is it the new dynamic of having a rookie, you know, holder, or what's going on there? I can't say that kicking or special teams is my expertise, but I'm going to bank my money that if Coach Reed and Dave Tobe say they have 100% faith in this kid, then I'm going to be on board with them. Rather be on board with the smartest guys here on the Chiefs team than make my own opinion up. But, yeah, it definitely does make you nervous because he had such an incredible season last year and also started off so incredible this season. And, of course, something happened week three against the Baltimore Ravens. And it seems like he was able to bounce back since then and then have a couple little flukes here and there. But, really, if we're going to call it an operational glitch, let's just hope that doesn't happen on Sunday again.
Haley Lewis from KSHB has been our guest here. You've got special programming come up every night at 6:45, and you've got a bunch of stuff all day Sunday out there. So you'll have plenty of opportunities on television to say who you think is going to win the game. I'm not going to hold you to this. It's just Thursday night. But give me 9 o'clock Sunday night. Are we talking about the Chiefs going to Tampa? And if they are going to Tampa, who are they going to be playing?
Okay. I am a Kansas City native, so I have to say the Chiefs. Of course, I do believe that the Chiefs here are the better team, and I think that the better team usually always wins the game. So I'm going to bank on that confidence. I say the Chiefs by 10. I'm going to say, let's do 31-21 Chiefs.
31-21
Chiefs. Let's put that in writing.
And in the NFC?
Chiefs are going to end up facing the Bucks because I think Tom Brady is going to find a way to Tom Brady and get it done, just like Patrick Mahomes is going to find a way to Mahomes and get it done on Sunday.
Well, it's going to be a crazy weekend. We all love it, and we work hard during these times of the year, but it's fun. It's better than been covering a 2-14 team, that's for sure. Haley Lewis from KSHB 41, thanks so much for your time tonight on the Red Zone. We'll be watching 41 all week long.
Todd, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll be back with more Red Zone after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the NFL Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Red Zone is brought to you by KC Zone CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather.
Welcome back into Red Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Jeffrey Chedia from NFL Network is our guest. Earlier in the week, we broke down the NFC Championship game. Now let's go ahead and break down this AFC Championship game. Jeffrey, third time in a row, the Chiefs have hosted the AFC Championship game. Note, the Patriots didn't do that under Brady and Belichick. They always ended up having a road game somewhere. Well, we'll get to the prediction at the end, but... You know, there's been a lot of stuff this whole week about Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to play in this game. I think we all feel that he will be out there. The head stuff is one thing. How much will this toe affect him? He was a little bit hobbled early in the week. Have you ever had turf toe? First of all, you played football. Have you ever had it?
I have not, but I've heard it's pretty painful.
It's bad, and it's just being one of those things that kind of bothers you a little bit. He does a lot of scrambling things on not design calls or whatever, although he got hurt on a design call. But, you know, third and eight, he'll run for nine. That's kind of what he does. That can be a factor for the Chiefs if he's not able to do that.
Oh, it will be. I think it's certainly an X factor for him in any game he plays, just the way he's able to move around. And you go back to last postseason, the way he used his legs, he was the leading rusher for the team throughout the postseason, was a difference maker. That Tennessee game, that touchdown run he had where he just put his head down and ran for 20 yards and shook a linebacker. That just obviously is points, but it also uplifts your entire team and demoralizes the defense that's trying to stop you from throwing the football. So, yeah, if he can't move around like the way he does, and you saw it even in that Cleveland game when he started to really have an impact on him. It wasn't just him running, but the way he was throwing the football. He kind of can get off balance a little bit and try to push it out there, and all of a sudden the balls kind of die or they're off. You know, they're missing the target. And so I think that there is an element of that. I know Andy said that it's not going to be that big of a deal, which is what you got to say. Mm-hmm. When you're the coach, you want to play that gamesmanship. But if it's really turf toe, it's not going to just go away in a week.
Yeah, they shoot you up and you just go out there and deal with it, I guess. Okay, we're talking to Jeffrey Chedia from NFL Network. And one of the players who I watch a lot is Tyrann Mathieu. And I think sometimes he doesn't have the greatest games ever, but he makes a play here or there. He was a stud from start to finish against the Browns. His PFF grade, which whatever if you believe in those things, was like 90. It was great. He really came to play in that game. How important is he going to be in this game when you're facing a team like Buffalo where they got a lot of weapons and Josh Allen, although they didn't run him intentionally last game, he ran quite a bit when they played the Chiefs earlier this year. How big is Tyrann going to be in this game?
Well, he's going to be huge, and this is the kind of game that it could mirror what you saw in both those Raiders games. When you put speed on the field against a defense like the Chiefs, it makes a huge difference in how they attack. In an ideal world, a guy like Mathieu can actually just bounce around, freelance, you know, pop into different spots, and it really affects the way a quarterback tries to dissect a coverage. You know, you want to know where your safeties are at, you want to know what your corners are doing, and it's like these guys are bouncing all over the place, it's harder to figure that out in 4 or 5 seconds. But with the Bills, the challenge here is you're talking about Stephon Diggs on one side, John Brown on the other, and Cole Beasley in the middle of the field, and a couple other guys thrown in there who are pretty good as well. Dawson Knox, the other number 13 for them, and also the tight end, Tyler Croft, a good receiver. So you've got five guys usually in a pattern, just as the Chiefs do, who can create problems for you. And when you're going down the field, it really forces – a guy like Mathieu to have to pick where he's going to be, where he's going to help. They're going to have to help on Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody who can cover him one-on-one.
Who does? I mean,
who does? Yeah,
maybe Jalen Ramsey or somebody like that. But he's a player. What do you think you've seen from Josh Allen in this postseason? We all know he kind of freaked out last year, had the lead in Houston, kind of fell apart. I thought he was good against the Colts. I thought last game he didn't handle conditions real well. He didn't, and they didn't. I don't understand. 17 straight passes or whatever.
It's crazy.
It was weird.
Andy doesn't even do that.
No, not even Andy. I mean, it was like, what is he doing? But, you know, have you seen a progression from Allen? Does he look like he feels like he belongs in this spot now? Because I thought he was nervous for sure last year in the postseason. Yeah. He got that win under his belt, and he wasn't all that good. I mean, they won that game the other night because the defense was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's, again, going back to what I was saying. I think he's grown a lot in terms of understanding how to use things around him to win games. I think he knew his defense needs to play well. Can't afford to turn the ball over in a game like that. You're playing against a pretty good defense. And you're right, I was surprised they didn't do more running just to create some balance because the Ravens, you know, they got some great people back there in the secondary. But he's not afraid of the challenge. And I talked to him a couple weeks ago for a story, and he said he learned a lot from that loss last year. He was pressing too much, trying to do too many things, and that he spent a lot of time this off season working on his game, working on his accuracy, which has shown up obviously in the way he's played this year, working on his decision making, understanding fronts better and protections, and so he's a lot more confident in what he's doing as a quarterback. Not just a guy who can throw the football and make plays, but a guy who knows what he's seeing. And I think that, you know, for him, what makes them really scary is he's not the kind of guy – we talk about Diggs, but he told me his favorite stat is that 13 different Bills players have caught a touchdown pass this year, which tied an NFL record set by the Falcons in 2016, which tells you he will throw to anybody at any time, which is what makes the Chiefs so dangerous.
Right, yeah. Their number's probably close to that. You know, I mean, they got a bunch. They got a bunch of guys who have scored. I love watching him play because I think he's got an energy about him, right? And he looks like he's happy to be a Buffalo Bill, right? I mean,
he's like
young.
Ben Roethlisberger, young Beth Ryan,
yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but he's big, he's strong, and his arm is something. I mean, his throwaways are like crazy. And that we get used to seeing Patrick do that, right? It's like, oh, he's running backwards and he just flips the ball and it's 40 yards and it's out of bounds. But I think, I mean, there's always been this talk, we got to get these two guys to throw off, you know, who's seeking to throw it farther. I'm not being some kind of Chiefs hater or anything, but I think Josh Allen might be able to throw the ball farther than Patrick Mahomes.
He's got some legitimate zip and some legitimate distance on what he can do with the football. And I played at Wyoming. I follow him at Wyoming, so I've seen some of his highlights from college, so I know what he could do. But there's been plays. I remember watching a game he played earlier this year where he was sitting back there under pressure, not really under pressure, but like a 3 or 4 man rush, trying to find somebody, playing 7, 8 guys in coverage. And their running back, T.J. Yeldon, like got in the back of the end zone, was just kind of standing around. It was like a 40-yard throw.
Yeah,
right there, and that's probably two guys in the NFL who can make it. The guys here and him make that kind of a throw, and so that's what scares you about, you know, Matthew, how you got to play, because you got to respect a guy throwing the ball 60, 70 yards down the field.
How much better are the arms just in general in the National Football League now? I mean, it's you used to say, "Oh, this guy's got an NFL arm." It seems to me when I was a kid, you didn't see anybody zip the ball like these guys do, and it's like every team's got someone who can really freaking bring it, man. It's probably coaching, learning how to
training.
Throw right, whatever it is, doing it. But there's some real freaking arms in this.
Well, thing. And let's face it, like you go back to when we were younger and you watch some of these quarterbacks weren't exactly the workout warriors in the offseason.
True.
Like when they showed up, it
like,
was
what
like
are you doing?
They were spending a lot of time playing golf in the offseason. When they showed up, it wasn't like you had to be a stunt. These guys come in, they can 360 dunk and they can run 40s in 4.3 seconds. So all that stuff adds into how you
your body. Here's one of the things that I think is an interesting thing about the quarterbacks, all four of these quarterbacks. Okay. We got Tom Brady, who was, they didn't have rivals rankings back then, but he was a highly recruited player from a high school in California. A lot of people offered him. He went to Michigan. He didn't even get to be the man at Michigan because they were always saying, oh, it's going to be Drew Henson or whatever. And he got picked in the 6th round. Okay. So he's got this, he's had this chip on his shoulder for 20 years about that. Now, he didn't have a chip on his shoulder like Josh Allen had as a 2-star recruit who no one wanted, who had to go to Wyoming. No disrespect to Wyoming football.
After JUCO.
Yeah, after JUCO. Aaron Rodgers had to go to JUCO. He was a 3-star guy. Patrick Mahomes was from the hotbed of Texas. People wanted him to go play defense. He was a three-star guy. They've all got something, even though those other three guys, were, and especially Allen and Mahomes, were drafted early. They weren't the first quarterback in their class. We know the history of Aaron Rodgers. Wasn't the first quarterback in his draft. These guys, and Brady's carried the chip for 20 years. And I think Rodgers has carried it for 15, 18 years now. And I think even, I mean, Josh Allen probably carrying it. Patrick still plays with the chip, even though he's already won everything and he's got $500 million coming. There's something about these particular four guys who I like that about them.
Yeah, well, I think it's just, you know, I actually wrote a story about just how if you're evaluating quarterbacks in today's world, the most important thing you got to look at is mental toughness. You know, forget about arm strength and accuracy and size and mobility. Those things are important, but it's just how tough is a guy? Like, what has he dealt with? How much character does he have? Like, how much adversity has he gone through? And you not just these four guys, but look at, you know, all the guys in the playoffs, the Russell Wilsons, the Baker Mayfields, the Ryan Tannehills, the Drew Breeses. Like, all these guys have been in that boat. And so I think it definitely, you know, you ask the question about how quarterbacks can throw the ball so far today. I think we live in a world where you can pretty much create a quarterback pretty easily. You can send him to the right camps as a high school kid, get him in the right offense, and get him with a Lincoln Riley and in college football, and all of a sudden he's got 40 touchdown passes and three picks, and now he's like a first round pick. And so, like, but I think the guys who really stand out, the guys who go far at this level, are the guys who feel like I have to prove myself every day. I got to work at this every day. Like, nobody's going to give me anything, and that actually permeates the rest of the team. And so, yeah, I think that you're right. I think there is something to be said, and I know Josh Allen will tell you that he. Not being recruited, going to JUCO, not being taken seriously at Wyoming, all that stuff is something he still carries every day with him.
And you have to carry it forever. I mean, seriously, Tom Brady has the world at his feet, yeah. Right? I mean, he's married to a supermodel. He's got all the rings. He could have just quit. He's like, nah, I'm going to go try this at Tampa because he's still driven. Mm-hmm. And that's the special thing about these guys. And I do think Mahomes kind of has that. Right?
Because
he's sitting there studying tape and doing all this work and all these things. He doesn't have to do all that work. I mean, you're set. Yeah. You know, some guys just get the money, they win a ring, and they're all good. Or they get the money, don't even win a ring, and they're all good.
Yeah, but what he has going for him, he has been around pro athletes. And yes. So he's got pro athletes who advise him. So he gets that firsthand of why you can't, you know. And he listens. That's the big thing. He listens to them. It's not just, I got it all figured out. I'm the man. Like, what can I do next? What can I do better?
Okay, Jeffrey Chedia from NFL Network, before we get your prediction on this game, I'm still waiting for the Chiefs' defense, especially the front four, to get after a quarterback. They did not get after Baker Mayfield. They got a sack from Legarius Sneed, who's had a sack in three straight games, by hook or by crook. However Spags wants to do it, however you have to do it, you're going to try to get pressure. Allen, I'm not sure Legarius Sneed can tackle Josh Allen if he gets back there. Okay, that's a different deal. You're going to get this guy on the ground. It's going to probably have to be Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Mike Pennell fall on him or something like that. Are they going to be able to create some pressure with the front four in this game?
I'm not confident in that. I think that in watching Cleveland, you know, Baker Mayfield had opportunities to run the football when he was bootlegging and he wanted to throw and he just ended up throwing out of bounds or missing a guy. When Josh Allen gets out of the pocket, he looks to throw, but he's going to run too. If he can get 5, 10, 15 yards running the ball, he's going to do it. He's going to run over some people in the process. And so you're right, that is a big concern for this team because they can't get pressure with four. Like the guys he can throw the football to and the way he can attack down the field, it's going to be a long day for them. And so they got to find some way to get after him and rattle him. Then in the first game, you know, they had some success with the blitz, but the problem with seeing a team a second time around is they've seen a lot of your blitz packages and they know what to expect, so it's hard to change that up. I mean, the Chiefs have a good defense, a good coordinator, but their personnel is not the greatest outside of Matthew and Chris Jones and Frank Clark. So you need to have schemes that can consistently confuse people. And I think once people see you, they get familiar with what you're doing.
Now, that first game the Chiefs played, it was very weird. The Bills just basically dared the Chiefs to run. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a really big game. We won't know yet this week if he's going to play. They kind of played the game with it last week. You know, it's going to be game time stuff with him. So even if he does play, he's not going to be 100%, right, with that injury that he suffered down in New Orleans. So do they have someone who can do those things if the Bills play it that way? I was very surprised with Darrell Williams. I thought he had a really nice game. But he's not as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or he'd be playing in front of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I think if they play Darrell Williams in that situation and play him the same, the way they played Edwards-Helaire, I don't think 78 yards is going to get it done against this defense. I think you need to be able to make them pay. But I'll say this, that Darrell Williams is their most consistent runner now. I don't know what's happened to Le'Veon Bell. There was so much hoopla around that acquisition, and it's just he's not even – for him not to be a factor in that game.
Yeah.
Like, just disappear. Did he get a carry?
He got, I think, one carry and got one ball thrown to him. Yeah. And it was
– and that was it.
You know.
Yeah. And so, yeah, now you're pretty much talking about Darwin Thompson being a player. I agree with you. I don't see how
The Chiefs will have to do it differently.
They have to do it differently. But without a variety of options. You know, you're pretty much asking Darrell Williams to be your bell cow guy.
Now, is kicking going to be a factor in this game? Harrison Butker he missed a PAT in Buffalo last time, and it looked like he kind of had the PAT thing figured out. Then right out of the shoot, he missed one, and then he missed a field goal. You start getting nervous, you know?
Could be. He's just a weird story, isn't he? You go back to that first Chargers game when he was knocking down 58 yarders to tie the game and
he misses an extra point, goes the other way, just blasts a 50 yarder.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Kicking's weird. Kicking's hard now. It's in these guys' heads. You go back to 7 years ago or whenever before they changed the thing, like there were two extra points missed in this year. Only one kicker who has been the full-time kicker all year hasn't missed an extra point.
No.
That's the dude for the Dolphins. Now, they didn't score 58 touchdowns like Chiefs did either, so he only had to kick 36 times or something. It's different. It's just harder, and it's these guys are so weird, right, mentally and everything. And I think this extra point thing is so in their head. I think it's fun for football because it's no longer a given.
Well, I'll say that the thing that I'd be concerned about as far as kicking game goes is that they're kicking too many field goals. I mean, the last two meaningful games they played against the Browns in Atlanta, they scored, what, two touchdowns? I mean, four touchdowns total?
Yep.
They kicked a lot of field goals. And so I think they got to find a way to get back in the end zone. And I think those red zone issues are starting to pop up again, and the short yards issues. It's just, you know, you don't get too deep into what happened last week with Mahomes getting hurt.
No more option plays?
How about we had the ball to a running back and just see what happens there?
You know what frustrates Chiefs fans? It's just so weird because Patrick got hurt. He lost his kneecap for 20 seconds, sneaking the ball, right? Baker Mayfield is whatever, maybe 6'1". He ran like three or four quarterback sneaks. If you have the horses up front, you just run the sneak. They got to get past the freak nature of what happened to Mahomes' knee. Tom Brady has run a quarterback sneak 200 times in his life, maybe. I don't know how many times.
Well, I'd argue that running the option, the speed option,
is more dangerous.
Is more dangerous as far as what you expose your quarterback to, because the way Patrick runs, I'm gonna have no problem with the play if it's Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson running it, but Patrick can be kind of cavalier with the ball and he runs upright. And that play against New Orleans, I think about when they scored, and he ran like 5 or 6 yards before pitching, maybe 10, 11 yards.
It's old school wishbone.
And I'm like, bro, you run like that, someone's gonna lay you out.
Yeah,
because they don't have to worry about whether you are in the pocket or not. They can take a shot at you just because you got the ball in your hands.
You're a football player right there now. Yeah. If you're not sliding, I don't know. It's going to be crazy to see. All right, final prediction here. What do you think is going to happen? Chiefs and Bills on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium.
This is a tough game, too, because whether or not Mahomes was playing or not, I felt like it was going to be tough. But I'll take Chiefs. I feel like him being out, the energy of that for this team is going to be big, being back in the game. So I think they're a strong-minded team to get to this point. They want to get back to the Super Bowl. I think they make it happen 27-24.
There we go. Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network, says the Chiefs are going to win. That should make Chiefs fans happy. Or mad. They'll just get mad at you either way.
Last time I picked them to win the AFC title game, they lost to the Patriots.
Oh, boy.
I'm not cursing anybody.
It's a curse from Chedia here on the Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the NFL Red Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Red Zone is brought to you by Casey's Own CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather.
Welcome back into the Red Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've been talking Chiefs and Bills and Chiefs and Bills and Chiefs and Bills, but we need to check in on the NFC Championship game as well, because you can hear it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So let's head on down to Tampa and talk to Tom Krasinski. I say that right, Tom. I'm going to mess this name up. I'm sure people mispronounce your name all the time, from WDAE.
They do.
Go ahead.
Krasnicki.
Krasnicki. There we go. See, I was telling I was telling Jed Marshall, our producer, who gave me your phone number. I said it's like John Krasinski on the Office, and he said, "No, that's not the same guest." So that's good. Tom Krasnicki. I said it wrong again. That's how it goes. But listen, I get Liabo and Liabo all the time on my name, so it's not that easy to get this stuff done. But one thing we know how to say is Tom Brady, right? That's a simple name. And he's really kind of rejuvenated what's going on down in Tampa with the Bucs. It's not been like a regular way to cover football, right? I remember when I first got in this business, when Joe Montana came to Kansas City, it was a monster steal. There were helicopters in the air and all this stuff. Everything's all zoomy now, so you can't really get around guys and feel that energy out there. But this is a little bit like Joe Montana coming to Kansas City with someone like Tom Brady going to Tampa and trying to take an already good team over the top. What's this past 8 months been like with him and the Bucs?
It's been a crazy ride, Todd. I got to tell you, when Brady first decided to come here back on March the 17th, the excitement started to build. Obviously, the pandemic really wiped out any chance of the Buccaneers packing Raymond James Stadium because they were flooded with season ticket requests. And then Brady, kind of like Joe Montana, he started doing these workouts at a local Tampa high school, getting to know his new teammates. Helicopters are coming overhead watching these workouts that they were going on every day. So it's been a whirlwind tour, pretty hectic down here in Tampa. But the fans are excited because they thought maybe with Brady they'd have a chance to make the playoffs, which they hadn't done since 2007. But here we are, one victory away from going to a Super Bowl that's being played in our own backyard, something that the NFL's never seen, having a team play in its own host stadium for the Super Bowl. So this town right now is absolutely upside down crazy right now for the Bucs.
Tom Krasnicki from WDAE in Tampa is our guest here on Red Zone tonight. And let's talk about where the Bucs are right now, because they obviously had lost to the Saints two times. And the second time, the first one, I get it, right? There, you know, it was the very first game, no preseason, no nothing like that. But then, you know, middle of the season, the Saints went down there and really put it on the Bucs offense and shut them down in the first half. Totally different story this time around. You know, I give the Bucs defense a lot of credit for what happened at the Superdome last week and kind of sending Drew Brees away and making those big plays on the defensive side of the ball. What was the apprehension going into that game about trying to beat the Saints, who had already won twice during the year?
Well, it was psychological because the Saints had owned the Buccaneers. They swept the two games. They scored 34 and 38 points respectively in the two victories. Bruce Arians was 0-4. As the Bucs coach against Sean Payton, Tom Brady was 2-5 against Drew Brees in his entire career. So there was a massive chip on their collective shoulders going into that game because the Saints have had their number. And when they beat them 38-3 in that Sunday night debacle, you know, the Saints players were dancing on the field. Former Buccaneer Jameis Winston is eating a W, kind of mimicking the Bucs a little bit. And the Bucs remembered that. So it was gratifying to them to get some much-needed revenge, to beat them in a playoff setting. And now that they've gotten over that hump, they feel like they're playing well on both sides of the ball. The offensive line's playing their best ball of the season. Defensively, Devin White came back last week, had an extraordinary first playoff game. So they feel like they're playing the kind of complementary football that could have this team in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. But first things first, Aaron Rodgers and company will be a tough matchup on Sunday.
You mentioned Devin White. I'm watching that game on Sunday thinking, why the Chiefs never have anyone who looks like that playing linebacker? But, boy, he's been a phenomenon, right? And we've seen Levante David for a long time, right? He was in the old Big 12 up here when we used to watch him before Nebraska moved on to the Big 10. So they got an old dog, right? And they got this new dog down. That's a really good linebacking crew that Tampa has. What sort of an effect can they have on the Packers this week?
Well, they can have a great effect, and they're probably the best inside linebacker tandem in the NFL. Levante David's been criminally underrated. I mean, you go and look at his numbers over the last 9 years. I mean, they eclipse just about any linebacker in the league. Luke Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, all included. Levante David's numbers are phenomenal. Now you got this young guy, Devin White, who brings a lot of energy, intensity, speed to the position. He gets from point A to point B in a blur, and they're going to be needed this week, and their effectiveness is only going to be enhanced with the return of Vita Vea, who's been out the last 3 months with a broken ankle. They just activated him off IR. He's been in practicing this week. He's going to play this week, and that's going to be a huge boost to their already number one ranked rushing defense, because Vita Vea is a 350-pound mammoth of a guy who you need two guys to block. And if that happens, that means White and David will be able to fly around and make plays.
Tom, what's the biggest matchup in this game? Is it Tampa offense versus Green Bay defense? Is it Green Bay defense, or you know, the Tampa defense we're talking about trying to stop that Green Bay offense? What's going to be the determining factor in this game?
Well, I think it's the Buccaneer defense against Aaron Rodgers and that offense of Green Bay's, which is clicking on all cylinders. Green Bay rushed it for 188 yards last week. The Bucs rush defense is going to test them. Devontae Adams, I think, is the best receiver in football. And Carlton Davis, who pitched a shutout last week against Michael Thomas, will be guarding him. So I think the Bucs' ability to contain the run and get after Aaron Rodgers the way they did in Week 6 is going to determine who wins or loses this game, I think.
So, you know, Aaron Rodgers has got this – I kind of call him the semi-goat, right? Because he's got all the stats and he's got the arm and all that, but he's only been to one Super Bowl. Tom Brady's legacy is already entrenched, right? 6 Super Bowl championships, all that stuff. If he takes the Tampa Bay Bucs to the Super Bowl, forget about winning it yet. If he takes the Tampa Bay Bucs in year one with no offseason to the Super Bowl, is there something more than the GOAT? Is there a super GOAT? Where would you classify what he is if he's able to get this job done Sunday?
You're talking about perhaps the most decorated athlete in the history of sports, and that may not be a stretch. If he does what we all think he could do, is take the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl, a team that hadn't been to the playoffs since 2007. And coming into this postseason, the Bucs hadn't won a playoff game since that great 2002 Super Bowl team, when they won the Super Bowl over the Raiders way back in the day. So what Tom Brady has done has been absolutely immeasurable, both on the field and off the field. He is showing these guys what it takes to mentally prepare day in and day out for regular season games, now playoff games. You know, Antoine Winfield told us yesterday, listen, I watch Tom Brady practice every day, and I try and mimic everything he does because he's so locked in and focused. He pays attention to the details and is starting to rub off on all of these guys.
Tom Krasnicki from WDAA in Tampa is our guest. And the Chiefs hope they have someone like Tom Brady here, because I think Patrick Mahomes has all the tools, and he seems to at this point have this insane work ethic that Tom Brady has, right? You guys haven't gotten to see it up close and personal because of the distance stuff, but what sort of stories are you hearing about his preparation and what he has brought to this team that maybe wasn't there with Jameis Winston?
Well, the constant film study, one. Two, he just inspires everyone around him because he walks into a huddle, you stand up and take notice, because here's Tom Brady, a guy who has been to 9 Super Bowls. He's won 6 of them. He's won MVPs. He's played in all kinds of elements. I know people talking about the cold and perhaps a little bit of snow at Lambeau on Sunday. That's not going to affect a guy like Tom Brady. But, you know, just his ability to get out there and perfect it and practice each and every day, making smart decisions, not forcing the ball into double coverage. We saw a lot of that with Jameis Winston the prior 5 years, and the Buccaneers had seen enough of it, not just the turnovers, but the bad decision-making both on and off the field. So they wanted to stabilize the position. They wanted to get a guy who could come in and absolutely change the culture 100%, and that's what Tom Brady has done.
Unrelated to this game, how long do you think he's going to play?
Well, I think he's coming back for next year for sure. He signed a 2-year deal worth $50 million, and he's feeling good, and he loves the Tampa weather. Look, anybody who comes here, myself included, you're going to want to, you know, plant your roots here and maybe stay here long term. So he's talking about playing for sure in 2021 and perhaps beyond that if his body feels good. I mean, he can play until he's 45, 46. I mean, he keeps himself in unbelievably great shape.
Of course, I guess the big question is he going to be playing in February this year? What are your thoughts about this game? Pick me a winner.
It's going to be a great game, Todd. Look, I think both teams will score. You're going to see some scoring in this game. I don't think the weather is going to be a factor at all. The wind is going to be light, and that's the only thing that concerns the Bucs. It doesn't concern them that it's going to be cold or a little bit of snow. The wind concerns them, and right now, that doesn't look like it's going to be a factor. I think Brady has the ball last. He drives him down the field. And Ryan Succop, who has solidified a position that has really haunted the Buccaneers going back a decade, will kick a field goal late, and the Bucs win 30-27.
Well, that'll be a heck of a game leading into this AFC Championship game that everyone is so excited for up here in Kansas City. Tom Krasnicki, thanks so much for your time. Best wishes to everyone down in Tampa, and maybe the Chiefs will be down there, hopefully facing the Bucs in a couple of weeks.
Mahomes versus Brady, that would be unbelievable. Thanks for having me.
That's Tom Krasnicki from WDAE in Tampa. That's going to do it for us here on Red Zone tonight. We're going to turn it over to Joshua Briscoe and Almost Entirely Sports next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.